It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. This figure surprised me when I learned that in the United States, nearly 80% of people with mental illness are unemployed. Here in Washington, the number is even higher, 87%. Those numbers come to us from a new report published by the National Alliance on Mental Illness. What unique challenges do mentally ill people face when it comes to finding work and then holding on to work? And what resources are there out there? David Johnson is with us to explain that. He's CEO of Navos. It's a nonprofit mental health agency based here in Seattle. David, thanks for taking the time to stop by.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
First of all, mental illness covers a wide range. Who are we talking about here?
We're talking about people who have serious and persistent psychiatric symptoms such as depression or bipolar disorder, which has both highs and lows, or a thought disorder like schizophrenia, where people have very confusing thoughts, hallucinations, or delusions. And sometimes some personality disorders that happen as a result of pretty awful life experiences.
Are people with serious depression or bipolar disorder capable of working?
They certainly are, and they are in every workplace that you will come into. One in four adults in any given year in America has a diagnosable condition that could benefit from treatment. And if you have not had your mental illness yet, it may not happen till you're in older adulthood. Many people don't have mental illness until depression in older adulthood. So this could be any of us.
Is the phrase temporarily able-bodied, and I guess we are temporarily mentally fit.
We are all human and sometimes share this condition, yes.
So what kind of why do you think the unemployment rate is so high for mentally people with mental illness?
I think to begin with, the symptoms of serious mental illness are really quite difficult to manage. Imagine the immobility that comes with depression, the terror that comes with anxiety, the confusion and fear that comes with a thought disorder. It's hard to get past those symptoms. And then secondly, it's hard for people to believe that they can recover and can do well in the marketplace again. And they absolutely can. There's every reason to be optimistic about that.
What kind of services are there available to help pave the way?
What we do and what many other mental health centers do is first we try and engage people and help them figure out what kind of work they would like to get back into doing. And we then do an assessment of their strengths. Whenever we can build on a successful past, we do so. And then sometimes people need to regain confidence in showing up on time, in following directions, and in being able to sustain the energy needed for a work day. We do some sample placements, and then we help find a job that can fit and an employer who is going to work with us to help make a successful job placement for that person.
Ah, the employer. Let's assume I'm an employer, and you, David Johnson, with Navos, has approached me to hire someone who has experienced mental illness. What's your pitch to me?
I think the first thing I would try and do is figure out whether you've ever had an experience of a loved one having a mental illness and then having the compassion about all the strengths that exist in people. Their illness is just a part of who they are. Secondly, people who have mental illnesses have had to develop tremendous skills at managing depression and anxiety and confusion. They're often stronger in some ways than other people. For instance, after 911, I was really surprised in the weeks after that how our seriously and persistently mentally ill clients ended up being resources to their families. They were used to feeling anxious and depressed every day. Their family members weren't. So there are skills that come from that. Also, people want to work. I don't know anybody, any adult, who doesn't want to work. And when you have somebody who's motivated and they are taking the effort to step beyond their disability and work again, it can be a tremendous success for the workplace.
Okay, David, you've presented me with, we'll call her Jane, who's got a history of depression, and her qualifications look really good. You've just made a convincing argument for why I might want to hire her, but I've got an equally qualified candidate here who is not coming to me with apparent issues around mental illness. Why would I want to hire Jane?
I think one thing is that you would have the support of the job coaches that come with Jane. I have 650 employees, and I don't always get new employees who I'm glad to have. But with Jane, my team will learn the job with her, will be there to work side by side with her to make sure she does it well, will be there to give you consultation if there are problems, or to work with others in the workplace if there are problems. So you get a lot of support that you don't get with just any employee.
Okay, I'm convinced. I'll hire Jane. Do I tell my staff that we're bringing Jane in? She's had some issues with mental illness. There'll be other people here with her to help support her. How do I handle that?
It depends on the situation. It depends on the culture of the workplace. I like it when workplaces find it to be a positive thing that somebody who has a variety of life experiences, including dealing with psychiatric symptoms, comes into the workplace. But not every workplace is that progressive at this time. I think that we want people to have the most normal experience possible. If Jane doesn't need the job coaches at her side, she may prefer not to disclose that she's dealing with depression. That may be something that she shares later on. In other cases, clients do want coworkers to know that so they can be sensitive and helpful.
Now, how about Jane? Let's look at it from her perspective for a moment. Maybe Jane is pretty nervous about going into a workplace again. Maybe some of her feelings of depression were brought on by a previous workplace experience. How do you kind of buck her up to go back into the workforce?
Every employee on their first day of work is nervous about the new job, and Jane is like other people just that way. She's probably developed more conscious anxiety management techniques. Thought stopping, breathing exercises, self-calming exercises, and she'll use those as she comes into the workplace. We will help her anticipate ahead of time what some of the challenges would be. We will make sure we understand what's needed in the job so she'll have as much advanced training as possible.
Okay, if I've hired Jane, I'll tell you one lingering concern I have. Maybe Jane just isn't doing the job. Maybe it has nothing to do with the mental illness she suffers from. And am I going to be facing a lawsuit if I terminate her because of her mental illness?
No, we really look at being partners with the employers. And if somebody doesn't have the skills or isn't a right fit for the job, it's not good for the employee or the employer. We would expect you to go through the same policies and procedures you use on warning and termination of any other of your employees.
This 87% figure, I have to say, is shocking in Washington State. 87% of people with mental illness unable to get work. Are you making any kind of an inroad into that?
I want to emphasize that that's Washington State. King County does many things remarkably well, the Division of Community and Human Services in King County. And one of the things that it has done is use the mental illness and drug dependency sales tax, 0.1%, to put extra money into providing supported employment. So the success and the rate of employment in King County is much higher than the state at large. The state at large has been decreasing funding for supported employment.
David Johnson is the CEO of Navos. It's a nonprofit mental health agency based in Seattle. David, thanks so much for telling us about this. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is The Record on KUOW.